Thank you. वृंदावन बिहारी लाल की
जय।
दिस सीरीज हैज बीन अबाउट व्हाई वी डू डिवोशन टू राधा एंड कृष्णा। सो आई स्टार्टेड आउट बाय एक्सप्लेनिंग हु इज श्री कृष्णा एंड वी लर्न दैट अकॉर्डिंग टू आवर स्क्रिप्चर्स ही इज द परात्पर तत्व, द सुप्रीम पावर बियॉन्ड हुम Nothing can exist because everything exists within him. All forms of divine God are part of his personality, included in him. All the souls exist within him and receive their life from him. And even Maya, the material power, does not exist outside of him. It's his power, it exists within him, and is only active through the power it receives from him. Yesterday I explained that Shri Radha is Shri Krishna. There is no difference between them. They are one and the same personality. Radha is Krishna, or you can say Krishna is Radha. Both are one and the same. One soul, one mind, one body, but two forms. They eternally exist in two forms, male and female, Krishna and Radha. They exist in two forms in order to perform leelas, so they themselves can enjoy their own ras in the form of each other, and so their devotees can experience that ras. Rasic saints, those who drink that ras of Radha Krishna, they say that we're luckier than Radha and Krishna are, because Radha drinks Shyam Ras and Shri Krishna drinks Gaur Ras, but the devotees get to drink Gaur and Shyam Ras both. So it's their gracious nature that they exist eternally in these two forms. I left you with the question yesterday that here at Radha Madhav Dham, when you look in the shrine, you see that there is some, although both Radha and Krishna are one, and this temple is for both Radha and Krishna, and we all do devotion to both of them and love both of them. But there's some extra prominence given to Radharani here. She sits alone on the throne in the center of the shrine, as well as being depicted with Krishna together in Ras pose on the left. There's a scientific divine reason behind this. Go back to when I was explaining about the powers, that Shri Krishna has unlimited powers, and out of all of those powers, the supreme power is his Swarup Shakti, which is also called Yoga Maya, or Chit Shakti, Antaranga Shakti. That's his personal power. And his personal power has three forms in which it manifests because he's Sat Chit Anand. So the Sat aspect manifests as his almighty power, Sandhini Shakti. The Chit aspect manifests as his power of knowledge, Samvit Shakti. And the Anand aspect manifests as his power of bliss, Ahladini Shakti. And since Sat is within Chit, and both Sat and Chit are included in Anand, it means Anand is supreme. That's why we say, sometimes we say, Sat Chidananda Brahm. Sometimes we just say Chidananda Brahm. Sometimes we say Ananda Brahm. You can leave the Sat and Chit out because they're included in Anand. So Anand is supreme. And if Anand is supreme, it means the Ahladini Shakti is supreme. Out of Ahladini, Sandhini and Samvit, Ahladini Shakti is supreme. So I had quoted a Veda mantra for you saying that Tasya Shaktayas Tvanekadha Ahladini Sandhini Gyane Cha Kriyadya Bahuvidha Shaktaya Tasvahladini Variyasi Radhika Upanishad. It means that out of all of his powers, Ahladini Shakti is supreme. So even though his Swarup Shakti is his personal power, but even within Swarup Shakti, Ahladini Shakti is the most important, his power of bliss. And that Ahladini Shakti also has an essence. Ahladini Shaktera Paramasar Taro Prema Nam. The essence of Ahladini is Prem. Another name for Prem, I told you, is Bhakti. So you can call it Prem Tattva, Prema Shakti, Prema Bhakti. What is it? Well, if Ahladini is bliss, or the power of bliss, then this Prem, or this divine Bhakti, it's the bliss of the bliss, or it's the essence of bliss. You can call it Ras. So now we've gotten even higher. You're talking about the essence of God's personal power. Swarup Shakti is the power of bliss. His Ahladini Shakti, the essence of that is the power of Prem or the power of Bhakti. But even within this divine Bhakti, there are different layers or classes of Bhakti. So we call it Prema Bhakti, that's the first. There are eight major ones. Prema Bhakti, Sneha Bhakti, Mana Bhakti, Pranaya Bhakti, Raga Bhakti, Anuraga Bhakti, Bhavavesh Bhakti, and Mahabhav Bhakti. So within this supreme power, the power of Prem, or the power of Bhakti, even within that you have different gradations. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji says, Premera Paramasar Sei Mahabhava Jani Sei Mahabhava Rup Radha Thakurani. Who is Mahabhav? That is Radha. So now we have some definition of who is Radha. Now, how does this relate to Sri Krishna and why is Radha given prominence? You can understand if we go into even more detail. If you look within Mahabhav Bhakti, there are also different levels. Mahabhav is divided into two levels. Rudh Mahabhav, and then higher than that is Adhirudh Mahabhav. And when I say higher, I mean like a higher state of blissfulness. It's all of it is beyond our experience, but saints have described not because we can understand by hearing the words, but so we can understand something about the relationship between Radha Krishna and who is Sri Radha. So even within this Mahabhav, you have Rudh Mahabhav and Adhirudh Mahabhav. Within that Adhirudh Mahabhav, again you have Madana Ras. And you have Modanaras. Modanaras is higher than Madanaras. Now that Modanaras becomes Mohanaras in Viraha. That's why saints say that in the divine world, Viraha is considered higher than Milan. Milan means meeting. So when a devotee meets with Sri Krishna, they experience the bliss of Milan, being in his association. And when Sri Krishna is apart from them, even though technically there's no separation after God realization, there's perfect unity, yet there's a feeling of viraha in which the whole world becomes the form of Krishna. Whereas in Milan, you only see Krishna at one place. So viraha is considered to be higher. So in viraha, the modan ras becomes mohan ras. Now who experiences that mohan ras? Only Radha. That mohan ras, as it further elevates, becomes divyon mad. And that divyon mad has 10 stages. They're described very briefly in the Bhagavatam in what is called the Bhramar Gita. Even though Radha's name is not explicitly explained in that place, but it's for Radha. It's explaining these 10 stages of divyon mad. They're given names, Rup Goswami and Jeev Goswami, they mentioned in their writings what these stages are called, like Prajalp, Parijalp, Sanjalp, Sujalp, Ityadi. These are all Radha's states of bhav, divine absorption in the divine bliss. But there's something even beyond that called Madanakya Mahabhav. That's the topmost state in this Mahabhav Bhakti. Now, how far does Krishna experience in all these stages of bhakti? Well, he experiences prema bhakti, sneha bhakti, man bhakti, pranaya bhakti, rag bhakti, anurag bhakti, bhavavesh bhakti, and within mahabhav, he experiences rood bhakti, and in adhirood bhakti, he experiences both madanras and modanras, and that's where his experience stops. And beyond that, the mohanras and the 10 states of divyonmad and the topmost state of madanakya mahabhav, only Sri Radha experiences, or you can say embodies, those divine states. So this is the reason why even Sri Krishna's divine intellect drowns in this mahabhav bhakti. Even he cannot fathom the depth of Radha, who she is. A saint says, Paramadhan Radhe Naam Adhar Kotin Roop Dhare Nand Nandan Tau Na Payo Par Paramadhan Radhe Naam Adhar. Vyasdas ji says, Shri Krishna, in an effort to know Radha, in an effort to know that Mahabhav and, you know, experience it to its fullest, he takes on many disguises to try to come to Radha unrecognized and see her in, you know, some new way. So sometimes he comes dressed as a flower-selling girl. Sometimes he might come selling bangles. Sometimes he might dress up as a yogini. And he comes and tries to experience the amazing bliss that is Mahabhav. But his mind always, imagine Krishna's divine intellect fails to reach the depths of that. His mind becomes overwhelmed and drowns in Radha's love. So this is why it's also said in Radhika Upanishad, there were some Brahmagyanis and they asked a question. Kasmad Radhika Mupasate. Why do we worship Radha? When Bhagavatam says, Yatha taror mulani shechanena tripyanti tatskandha bhujopashakha. If you worship Krishna, you've worshipped everybody. Everybody is pleased by worshipping Shri Krishna. Just like if there's a huge tree and you just water the roots, what happens? The trunk, the bark, the branches, the smaller branches, the twigs, the leaves, the flowers, the fruit, everything receives the water because you put it on the root. In the same way, by worshipping Shri Krishna, you've worshipped everybody. You've worshipped Vishnu, you've worshipped Shiva, you've worshipped Durga, you've worshipped all the celestial gods and goddesses. You've worshipped everybody because they all are included in Shri Krishna's personality. Then what is the need of worshipping Shri Radha, they're wondering? Adityo Bhyadravat. As soon as they thought of the question, Shruti, the Vedas in personal form, appeared before them. Shrutaya Uchu. And they spoke. They said many things about Shri Radha. I'll tell you a few. Jagad Bharta Vishwamohanasya Shri Krishnasya Pranatodhika Mapi. Shri Krishna, who is the Lord of the entire universe, he sees Shri Radha as more than his own pran, like his soul. It is said that Radha is the Atma of Shri Krishna, his soul. So just like our Atma is the most important thing to us, see, our body wants to serve our mind, and our mind wants to serve our soul. Our body is the natural servant of our mind. Whatever our mind thinks, our body does automatically. It never even considers anything. Whatever mind says, body does. And what is the mind doing? The mind is trying to serve the soul all the time in 24 hours by looking for happiness. Mind is always looking for happiness because that is the demand of the soul, and the mind is the servant of the soul. Why is it the servant of the soul? Because soul gives life to the mind. And mind gives life to the body, so the body is the natural servant of the mind. And who gives life to you, to the soul? Shri Krishna gives life. Chetanash Chetananam, Shvetashvatara Upanishad. So our soul is the natural servant of Shri Krishna. Jivera Swarupahoya Krishnera Nityadas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji says, it's our identity. Since Shri Krishna is giving life to our soul, so we're naturally inclined to serve him. But who is the soul of Shri Krishna? Shri Radha. So he is naturally inclined to serve her and surrender to her. And in fact, this is what her very name means. Krishnena aradhyate iti Radha. Radhika Upanishad. What does Radha mean? The one who is worshipped by Shri Krishna. Shri Krishna does her aradhana. That's why she's called Radha, because she is worshipped by Shri Krishna. Now, since the nature of love is to serve, Radha also desires to serve Shri Krishna. So her name has another meaning, just like in the Bhagavatam it says, Anayo anaya radhika nunam bhagavan haririshvara. Shri Radha, her name, what does it mean? Oh, it means the one who worships Shri Krishna. So her name has both meanings. But she is said to be Shri Krishna's Atma. Thus, Yasya Renum Padayor Vishvabharta. Shri Krishna takes Radharani's foot dust and puts it on his head, feeling lucky to have her foot dust. Imagine, he whose foot dust is worshipped by Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, he's taking Radharani's foot dust and putting it on his own head. And he forgets about everything. Naiva smaram golokakhyam dhama param. He forgets about his divine abode completely in the presence of Radharani. So that is Radha. In the Leelas, in the divine world, some Leelas have Shri Krishna prominence and some have Shri Radha prominence. The Shri Krishna prominence leelas are much more well known, like any Sakyabhav leelas or Vatsalyabhav leelas. Even some of the leelas with Radha, Shri Krishna has prominence. But the supreme bliss of the divine world is the bliss of Vrindavan abode. There's even a whole Upanishad called Samrahasyopanishad. In there, there's a conversation between Lakshmi and Vishnu. Lakshmi sees that Vishnu has his eyes closed and she's pressing his legs. And she's thinking to herself, I wonder who he's thinking of or what he's thinking of. So when he opened his eyes, she asked him, and he said, oh, I'm thinking of Radha Krishna Leelas of divine Vrindavan, where they do Ras, where only the gopis have access, where the supreme bliss of the divine world is revealed. I'm thinking about those Leelas. So even Lakshmi desires to experience some of that Vrindavan Ras. Yadvan Chaya Shrir Lalana Charatapo Vihaya Kaman Suchiram Dhritabrata Bhagavatam. Hearing this from Mahavishnu, she went and did austerities for thousands of years in order to attain that bliss of Vrindavan abode. But she couldn't, because she's the almighty power, and that almighty power can't enter Vrindavan abode. Only pure Madhurya is allowed there. So in those leelas of Vrindavan abode, there is Radha prominence. Like in Ras Leela. When Shri Krishna wanted to do Maharas, what did he do? Yoga Maya Mupashritaha. He surrendered to his Yoga Maya. And who is Yoga Maya? Radha. In other words, he called Radha. He thought of her and she appeared. And he asked permission. May we do Maharas? And she gave permission. Then he called on his flute, played on his flute, and all the gopis came. So that's a brief explanation of why we have given special prominence to Radharani here. Although, in the practical devotion, some devotees feel closer to Shri Krishna and think more of him in their devotion. Some think more of Radha, and some think of both equally. The only thing that matters is you understand both are one, and then according to whatever feels natural for you in your devotion, you do what comes naturally. There's no pabandhi, there's no restriction or limitation on you have to think of one or the other, or one more or one the other one more. Whatever works for you, just as long as you understand both are one and the same. But in those sweetest leelas of divine Vrindavan, because there is a prominence of Shri Radha, that's why she's given a special seat here at Radha Madhav Dham, and the mandir is named after her, so that we can remember the sweetness of those very special leelas. Shri Radha also came when Krishna was on the earth planet. In fact, she came in this latest dissension. They've come many, many times. In this latest dissension, she came first. She came a year before Krishna came. And she appeared in Barsana, which is only a few miles from Nandagaon, where Shri Krishna grew up. And she stayed in Barsana the whole time. Her appearance was much like how I described Krishna's appearance, how she appeared in her full-grown form. And then, upon the request of her mother, Kirti, she became a little baby girl, and then grew up. And there are many leelas described by saints, and especially by Shri Kripaluji Maharaj, explaining the baby Radha Leelas. Some when she's really young, some when she's a little older. Like one time she came and it was bedtime, but she was looking out her window from her palace and she saw the full moon. So she made a demand from her mother that I want that moon toy to play with. It looked, shiny and round and like something you would want to play with. So her mother was a little hesitant. She didn't know what to say, how to explain. Radha's too young to explain this kind of thing to, and she's being, you know, that childhood. In childhood, you get like a jidd. You decide you want something and you won't let go of that thing. So she's saying, "Mother, if you don't bring me that moon, I'm not going to wear any of the nice clothes you put on me. I'll throw them all away. I won't wear any of the decorations, the ear pendants, the crown, nothing. Mother, I won't even eat the food you give me. I'll go and stay at one of my sakhi's houses. And I will stop calling you my mother if you don't bring me that moon toy." Little Radha, probably 3-4 years old, talking in a little stuttering way. So eventually, Kirti Maiya thought of something. She brought a mirror and she showed Radha in the mirror that, "There, see, I've brought you the moon." And then Radha was trying to grab it to play with it, and she couldn't grab it, but she thought there was something wrong with the moon, but her mother has brought her the moon like she asked, but somehow I'm unable to play with it. When she got a little older, she'd been out playing with her friends one day, and she had an older brother who was one of Krishna's best friends. His name was Sridhama. Sridhama, like any good older brother, likes to tease his younger sisters. So Sridhama used to tease Shri Radha also. And today, Radharani has come back, and she comes and jumps up on her mother's lap, and she's saying, "Mother," she's disturbed about something. She says, "Mother, I'm not going to make Sridhama my brother anymore." She's very serious. So her mother says, "Okay, what happened? You tell me what happened." She said, "You know, me and my sakhis, we went out to play in this kunj, and he had gone ahead, and he had this black blanket on his head, and he was hiding in the bushes on the edge of the kunj. And we were all playing, and then we hear this sound like some ghost is rising up, making some monstrous sound. And we look and we see this black form rising out of the bushes. So mother, we all started running. We didn't look back and we just ran and ran. And then when we were running out of breath and we were almost ready to fall down, then he threw off the blanket and said, 'It's only me.' So mother, he teases me too much. I don't want him as my brother anymore." So she said, "No, no, you don't worry. When he comes home, I'll get a hold of him and punish. I'll give him a little, you know, little beating." So then Radha thought, okay, that's good enough. Her mother said, "He'll get hungry eventually. He'll have to come home, then I'll get him." Okay, then Radha was happy. So she did all the leelas just like any little girl would do, but in the sweet way that Radharani is. She stayed in Barsana in this way growing up, and of course she never looked older than 16 years, but she stayed in Barsana for 126 years. Shri Krishna only stayed in Braj for 11 and a half years, and then he had other things to do. He had to go to Mathura, he had to go to Dwarka, he had to tell Gita, fight Mahabharata war. He had all these things he needed to do. So he left Braj after 11 and a half years. Now some people wonder, how could he have left Braj when the status of, let alone Radharani, the status of the gopis is higher than Rukmini or any of the queens of Dwarika? Why did Krishna leave them and just stay in Dwarika? You can understand that the Shri Krishna who went to Mathura and Dwarika, that was another form of Krishna. Remember I explained there are different divine abodes, Vrindavan and Golok, that's the abode of Radha Krishna. Then in another form, Shri Krishna inhabits Mathura abode. In another form, Dwarika abode. He's less playful, more formal in these abodes. In another form, he inhabits Saket Lok as Bhagwan Ram. And in another form, he is purely almighty. He inhabits Vaikunth abode as Vishnu and the other almighty forms of God. He had already come as Ram and revealed the bliss of Saket Lok on the earth planet. He spent 11 and a half years revealing the bliss of Vrindavan and Golok. while he was in Braj, now he had to reveal the bliss of Mathura and Dwarika abodes. So he went to Mathura, leaving his peacock feather and his flute behind, because those are the signs of pure Madhurya. So if there's any almightiness mixed, there can be no flute and no peacock feather. So he left those with Mother Yashoda, went to Mathura, and there he revealed his Mathuradhish form. Then when he went to Dwarika, he revealed his Dwarikadhish form. And in each of those places, he has different divine associates. So in Dwarika, his divine associates, he has Rukmini. Rukmini is actually the descension of Mahalakshmi, who came as Rukmini. So Rukmini is just Ansha of Radha. Just like Lakshmi is part of Radha's personality, Rukmini is part of Radha's personality. All the other queens, they were also saints who received that status to have that association of Krishna as one of his queens. Krishna was just revealing the bliss of Dwarika abode when he was in Dwarika. So that was all in his plan, to come on the earth planet and reveal these different types of bliss. But in another form, he never left Braj. When Shri Krishna sent Uddhav from Mathura to Braj to meet the gopis and Radha, once he surrendered to them, what did he see? He saw, oh, I thought Krishna was in Mathura. He's been here with you all along. So this viraha you're expressing is just an expression of that viraha. You're not actually in separation from Krishna, because Krishna of Braj was with you all the time. Just the people of the earth, you see, when Krishna takes avatar, he becomes visible at one place for all the ordinary people. Even we could have seen him. It's another story that we wouldn't have recognized his divine form, but we would have physically seen him. So with that physically visible form, visible to all ordinary people, he was in Braj, then he went to Mathura, then he went to Dwarika, then he disappeared, went back to the divine abode. But for the saints of Braj, Shri Krishna is always omnipresent, just like he is now. So a saint can never be separate from Krishna. Just in one form he appears where we can see him, but he's still everywhere else for the saints. So those saints, the gopis, the Gwalbals, and of course, Radharani, they were in full association of Shri Krishna the entire time, yet we couldn't have seen that. So it was part of his divine lila, part of what he needed to go to Mathura and Dwarika. Well, some people ask, why didn't Radha and Krishna get married? Now, I get asked this question all the time, but the fact is, for one thing, since Radha is Krishna and Krishna is Radha, it doesn't matter if they do some marriage ceremony or not, they're eternally together, always. But the other fact is that in this dissension, they did perform a marriage lila. They don't do it every time they come. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. They wanted to give the bliss of that marriage lila to the gopis, have them. I mean, if you had a chance to see Radha, everybody likes a wedding, right? So if you had a chance to see Radha Krishna's marriage lila, who wouldn't want to see that? The place where it happened is called Bhandirvat. It's on the bank of Yamuna. Brahma was called to be the Purohit. He did the whole ceremony and the gopis were there and Radha and Krishna had their marriage. So, just like in Vaikunth abode, as Vishnu, Krishna's form is Vishnu, and Radharani's Ancha, Lakshmi, is there. So Vishnu and Lakshmi are together. Shiv and Parvati are together. As Ram, Radha is Sita, they're together. As Dwarikadhish Shri Krishna, Rukmini is there. Radha is there as Rukmini. And in Divine Golok and Vrindavan, Radha and Krishna are there. So there's no question of Krishna left Radha and went and married Rukmini. It's all Radha, it's all Krishna. They're all forms of Radha and Krishna. But as I said, the supreme bliss of the divine abode is the bliss of Vrindavan. And that is the supreme goal of every soul. And when we talk of doing devotion, we do devotion with that aim in mind. That's what we're taught to do. You can have any aim when you do devotion. You can even ask God for a worldly thing. But then that's all you'll get. You could also ask Him for liberation. That's beyond asking for worldly things. But then if you ask for liberation, you won't get to experience anything ever again after that. You'll be free from this world, but you'll also be free from any experience in the divine world. You just merge into formless God and enter a divine state of peaceful unconsciousness. So beyond that is the experience of the personal form of God in His almighty form. And beyond that is the bliss of Vrindavan. So you surrender to Him and you can have any of those things. One of the first steps on the path of bhakti is to decide what your goal is. So you decide and then accordingly, you worship that form of God that you wish to meet. And if it's Radha Krishna of Vrindavan, then you meditate on them. You worship them. That divine bhakti, which is our goal, is received upon complete heart purification. It's just a gift given by Radha and Krishna. How to qualify for that gift? Well, you have to do the other kind of bhakti, which is called sadhana bhakti. And the type of sadhana bhakti we do is raganuga bhakti. I explained that means you form a relationship in your heart with Radha and Krishna and you always think of them close to you in that way. So by practicing raganuga bhakti or sadhana bhakti, you purify your heart. How is that done? Shravanam kirtanam Vishno smaranam padasevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakhyamatmanivedanam bhagavatam. Prahladji says, there are 9 ways of doing bhakti. There are many, many more, but he's saying, you know, in general, 9 ways. Out of those 9, in the very same Bhagavatam, it is said that 3 are the most important. Tasmat sarvatmana rajan hari sarvatra sarvada shrotavya kirtitavyascha smartavyo bhagavan nirinam. Shravan, kirtan and smaran are given prime importance. Shravan means what you're doing right now. You're listening to the divine philosophy and to the leelas of Radha Krishna. Kirtan is what I'm doing. I'm telling you the philosophy and the leelas. Another form of kirtan is when you sing the leelas or you sing the divine name. And smaran means when you remember. You think of. All 3 are employed here at Radha Madhav Dham, as you've been seeing every day. You listen to some philosophy, you sing some kirtan, but all the time underlying all of that is smaran. Manera smarana pran. The pran of devotion, the life of devotion is smaran, which simply means remembering Radha and Krishna, thinking of them. Because mana eva manushyanam karanam bandhamokshayo, all of the scriptures say mind alone is the cause of bondage and of liberation. How? Vishayan dhyayatashchittam vishayeshu vishajjate ma manusmaratashchittam mayyeva praviliyate. Bhagavatam. Shri Krishna says, if you attach your mind in the world, you multiply your worldly bondage and you ensure your rebirth in this world. And if you attach your mind to me, you come to me. You're freed from all the material bondage. So that's why smaran is the most important, remembrance. Because through remembrance, we develop attachment. The more you think of someone or something, the more attached you get to it. So if we're not thinking of Radha Krishna, we're not going to become attached to them. That means our heart is not going to get purified, because it can only be purified to the extent we're attached to them. So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji said there's two kinds of bhakti. There's sasanga bhakti and anasanga bhakti. Sasanga bhakti means with the involvement and attachment of your mind. So you have your senses in your body, just like you can listen, you can sing. You use your senses for devotion when you're doing smara, when you're doing shravan, or when you're doing kirtan. But just the use of the body and the senses without the attachment of the mind, that would be anasanga bhakti. You're just singing, but you're not thinking of Radha Krishna. Your ears are open, you're listening to a lila, but your mind is somewhere else. So then the mind is in one place and the body and senses are doing bhakti. That's called anasanga bhakti, and it has no effect of heart purification or purifying your mind, because the mind is somewhere else. So if mind is in Radha and Krishna, that's called sasanga bhakti. So you can do that just with your mind, or add in the senses and body as well. But the mind has to be there, only then it will be getting purified. Then it's a process. Keep doing bhakti, your mind keeps purifying. And what is the heart and soul of bhakti? Remembering Radha and Krishna. So how do you remember them? I told you on the first day, Roop Dhyan. Roop means the form, and Dhyan means remembering or meditating. There are many forms of meditation, but this is the way to meditate for the path of bhakti to attain God. What do? You think of their form. Visualize it in your mind. Do you have to think of both Radha Krishna? No, you could think of just Krishna, or just Radha, or both. It's up to you. Do you have to think of their whole form? No. Even if you think of just Krishna's one ear, it's enough. His ear is also divine. If you think of his ear or you think of his whole face, there's no difference in the effect, actually. Or just think of his ear pendant. That's enough. Think of his hair, his eyebrows. Any one part of him gives you the exact same result as if you think of his whole form. So it makes it very easy. You can imagine what his eyebrows, what his eyelashes look like, what his hairline looks like. Just keep moving around like that, thinking of different parts of Shri Krishna. You're doing Roop Dhyan. Along with Roop, his virtues are also there. Virtues means his beauty, his playfulness, his charmingness, the fact that he accepts any fallen soul. Those are all his virtues that you can also meditate on. Oh, Krishna's like this, Krishna's like that. Isn't that what you do with someone that you're attached to in the world? Think about all their good qualities. Then you get more and more attached to them in that way. The same thing for Radha Krishna becomes bhakti. Think of his divine abode, which is depicted here in the shrine. Maybe Krishna hasn't even come. You're just imagining the scene, the kunj, and you're waiting for Krishna. That's as good as thinking of Krishna, because even his divine abode is part of his personality. It's the expansion of his own personality. So there are so many options, so many ways to do Roop Dhyan. And along with that, you add in kirtan, because the kirtan helps block out distractions. It helps keep the mind focused and engrossed. Then, depending on the words of the kirtan, it might give you some more ideas how you can meditate. Maybe the kirtan is describing a lila, or the decorations of Radha Krishna, or what their personality is like. So it gives you an easy way to engross your mind in thinking of them. Kind of like reading about someone that you're attached to. That is another way of engrossing the mind. Then the kirtan has its own power, because the name of Radha Krishna is just another form of Radha Krishna. So even just the sound of that name helps purify your heart. But when you combine it with the Rup Dhyan, then, as we say, you have icing on the cake. You really have a complete package. And you have a very powerful way of doing devotion and purifying your heart. A very simple and easy way, and the most powerful way. This is the form of devotion that we practice here at Radha Madhav Dham, as taught by Shri Kripaluji Maharaj. And it can be adopted by anyone. As you see, it's a very universal form of worship and a very natural way to think of God. Whenever we're sitting and doing devotion, we're very focused, or we try to be focused. And when the mind wanders, we bring it back. That's our sadhana. That's the effort we make. But devotion is not just something you do for part of the day. Bhakti is really, you're trying to develop this consciousness in your mind, like a conscious awareness that my life is for Radha Krishna. The goal of my life is to attain them. And they're always with me. They're always watching me, caring for me. A conscious awareness of that throughout the day also, it keeps that process of heart purification going on throughout the day. So it's not just happening for 30 minutes when you're sitting and doing devotion. It keeps happening throughout the rest of the day. Because you're not only related to Radha Krishna when you sit and listen to kirtan, like when you get up in the morning, let's say, okay, from 6 to 6:30 I get up, I do my devotions, I do my sadhana bhakti. So during that time, Krishna, you're mine. 6:30, okay. Krishna, see you later. I'm going to work, I'm going to school. For the rest of the day, I'm not related to you. I'm related to my mother, father, my friends. I'm busy in all of this. And then at night again, oh yeah, I sit and remember you again before I go to sleep. That's not devotion. Devotion means you're really related to Krishna. So if you're really related to him, you want to remember that all the time. That also is something that develops. The more you practice this form of bhakti, doing this Rup Dhyan with kirtan, the more your heart will purify and the easier you'll find it to remember Radha and Krishna throughout the rest of the day. That remembrance becomes a natural thing that's just there in your heart. But you still have to make the effort to do it. And as your heart purifies, you get some other side benefits. It's not just that we're waiting to reach that ultimate goal. Along the way, we're experiencing something. As the heart purifies, you receive more and more of their grace. They're waiting to grace you. And that grace is experienced as an inner contentment, excitement to meet them, confidence, self-assuredness, joy. All of that develops gradually in the heart. And the negativities of the mind are gradually reduced because the mind is being purified. So things like anger and jealousy and those unwanted negativities, they also get cleaned out gradually. It's just a byproduct of the path of bhakti. And ultimately, when the heart is fully purified, then through the grace of a rasic saint, you can receive that swarup shakti of Radha Krishna. And that divinizes your antahkaran, your mind, and your senses. And then into that divine antahkaran, that rasic saint, your Guruji, will give you that supreme power of bhakti, that prem, into your divine antahkaran. You'll get the divine vision of Radha Krishna, and you can join in their leelas forever. So this, in gist, is the philosophy of why we worship Radha and Krishna, how we can do it, how we can apply it in our life, and what benefits we can get. So you can keep coming to Radha Madhav Dham and learn more and experience more while you're here, and take this away with you as well. Take this practice away with you, this practice of Rup Dhyan, sitting for some time and doing kirtan every day, and then trying to remember Radha and Krishna with you throughout the rest of the day. Take that with you And if you had already learned that while you were here previously, then take with you a resolve to do more devotion or to put more effort into remembering Radha Krishna more in your life. And then we'll meet again. So we'll finish by doing a little bit of kirtan now. We can all just close our eyes and do Roop Dhyan of Radha Krishna. You can also think of any leela. I didn't mention that part. That aside from their abode and their virtues and their form, you can think of a leela. A leela that you've heard explained or you've read, or just any leela that you can imagine in your own mind. There's no restriction on the type or kind of leela. So you can do that for a few minutes while we sing their names.
Radhe, Radhe, Govinda, Bhajo. Radhe, Radhe, Govinda.
Radhe, Radhe, Govinda.
Radhe, Radhe.
श्याम सरकार की।